Tuesday, October 22nd, 2013. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to continue along with the theme that I brought up on my blog, where we were talking about this idea of how familiarity, in many cases, instead of breeding contempt, many cases it breeds no attempt, meaning that sometimes things are just so much like right there, right? And we're surrounded by certain things so often that it just kind of blends in with the landscape, right? And we just fail to make efforts in those areas. Now, this week specifically, we're going to be talking about familiarity and the four mistakes that we make with our customers. Now, before we do that, I have a few shout-outs that I want to make. Now, those of you who are new to the podcast, I want to tell you that the whole idea of a shout-out is when somebody is nice enough to stop by iTunes, give us a rating, leave some kind words. It's my opportunity to remember my manners and publicly acknowledge it because I really appreciate it. So just a few quick shout-outs this week. And the first one goes out to MF Tomter, who writes, "I've read Paul's blog for years and now enjoy listening to his podcast as well. His contribution is important with valuable and motivating skills to communicate effectively with others and live a more satisfying life." The next shout out goes out to, and forgive me, folks, if I'm butchering any names, man. Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to make me feel horrible if you tell me I just completely destroyed your name. Goes out to Alin Biscani. "Paul always delivers great advice and ideas, but this podcast is absolutely crammed with information about how to be a relevant sales professional in 2013. And last but not least, Martin Haug writes, "Just started my sales journey and wanted to say that I have found your podcast to be refreshing with its candor and genuineness. Sit a little higher in that chair, sir. You deserve it." And I'll tell you, it took the words right out of my mouth. I got to tell you, Martin, I am sitting a little bit taller in my chair when you guys write cool things like that. So special thanks to MF Tomter, Alin Biscani, and Martin Haug. I really, really appreciate that. And folks, if you've been finding value in this podcast and you have a moment, please stop by iTunes, give us a rating, because the best thing about it is, aside from making me feel good, right? Because I mean, I love it. But the other reason behind it is that it will rank higher on iTunes. So when people are looking for sales advice and this kind of stuff that we do here on the Sales Playbook Podcast, we can be found now and offer this. And by the way, I'm really, really proud of the fact that now this is episode 91. So the way I want you to look at this is that right now there are actually 91 free audio sales lessons available to you in your automobile university. So I'm hoping that you're taking full advantage of that. And with that, folks, man, that's like 3 minutes and 53 seconds of me not getting to the point, man. Let's get down to business, violating my own rules here. So there are going to be four areas that we're going to talk about today where we make some pretty big mistakes with our customers. Again, it's under that heading of we're so familiar with them that maybe we forget some key things that could make a world of difference in the relationship, a world of difference in the degree in which we're able to sell our products and services and help them. So let's take care of the first area. You ready for this? The first area that we kind of, it's a big mistake, is that once our customers officially become a customer, right? When that courtship is kind of done and now it's the marriage, and hopefully that courtship never dies, by the way, we should always be courting them, but we somehow forget to continue to pre-call plan, specifically the research portion of pre-call planning. Like, anytime you have an interaction with one of your customers, you should always have a plan, right? You should never wing it. You should never go see to your pants. You're not going to be at your best, right? So you don't need me to tell you about that. That's really preaching to the choir, I would hope. But so not only is there like kind of the getting your thoughts together, getting all your information ready to present to them and talking points and things like that, the preparation piece, but the research piece somehow gets forgotten about. So let's talk about something for a minute. Again, you're courting a potential customer, and let's call them the ABC company because I'm a real creative dude like that, right? Don't you love that? Anyway, and what happens is, I hope, is that there's a research portion where you're going online and you're looking up things about that company, and hopefully the individual as well, or individuals that you're dealing with. Very important that you're researching both, right? Not just the company, but the individual too, because it's not going to be the company, like some robotic, like non-entity buying from you. It's going to be a person. So very important that you know some things about them, and not just like researching them on Google, but hopefully you're stopping by LinkedIn and you're looking, right? It's their online resume and see where they've worked, and maybe if you know some people, like you have some common contacts and things like that, right? So you're doing all that stuff on the front end, and now they become your customer. And then typically with a lot of people, it stops. And that's a huge mistake for a lot of reasons. Number one, I mean, think about how fast business moves these days. I mean, seriously, I always use this example. Seriously, we're about 7 minutes into this podcast. I guarantee you that something has changed somewhere for someone's client listening to this podcast right now. That's how quickly things move. But if maybe you think I'm pushing it there a little bit, then let me just really get to the point. I'm willing to bet that something has changed since the courtship and today, right? I mean, chances are pretty darn good something has changed. Now, let me just hammer that point home a little bit more. Now, you know, I hope you know this by now, that you're not the only choice for your customer. And as much as we want to think that our customers just love us so much that they would never even think about entertaining a call from someone else, that's unrealistic, right? So what you have to realize then, if you have not continued to research them and continue to be in the know about just all kinds of stuff that's going on at that company and their industry and all that kind of stuff, then your competitors, if they are doing their meticulous pre-call planning, they know more than you. And think about that. That's like an asinine position for you to be in. Now, here you are, the person in this marriage, and somebody else, a potential person who wants to court them, knows more than you. I mean, I'm sorry, but we're all better than that. I mean, that should not be at all. So what I want to just point out to you very, very quickly, I mean, yeah, I suppose you could just kind of from time to time pop into Google and pop your customer's name in there and the company and key players in the company. You could do that. It's certainly better than not doing anything at all. There's a lot of people who use Google Alerts. I'm not a big fan of Google Alerts. I'm just going to tell you right now. And right there, probably everybody's like, all right, man, I'm just going to like go listen to sports radio or something. This guy's an ass this week. But just hear me out. I don't like I like the concept of information coming to me instead of me having to hunt that constantly. Again, not to brag, I have a lot of customers at Castain Training System. I have a ton of customers, I teach sales to people, so like, wouldn't it suck if I had like no customers or two or something, right? So I'd better have a lot of customers, and I do. So if I had to like manually go in and just like, oh, let me see what John's up to. Oh, let me see what the XYZ come. Man, I don't have enough time for that. And chances are I just wouldn't do it. So the idea of having a Google alert come to my inbox, it's okay until you really look at what happens, especially if you have multiple customers. It blasts the hell out of your inbox. Now, some people say to me, well, I'll just set up a different email address for that. Okay, so now you got two places now to go to. I mean, I just wouldn't do that. And you still have to sift through all the emails. And it's just a lot of extra work. What I would rather do is a little something-something I call setting up a sales listening station. Setting up a sales listening station. I'll explain it to you quickly. But the good news is, if like you're listening to it, and if you're a person, I'm not a technical person, Castain. Well, first of all, the good news is I'm not either. I mean, seriously, that portion of my brain has like laughing idiots dancing through tumbleweeds and dust and cobwebs, man, because I'm like, I'm dumb with that stuff, man. I'm really not too bright with that. But the good news is, even still, I will send you, or not send you, if you go to the show notes this week, which you could find at yoursalesplaybook.com/91, because this is episode 91, there will be detailed instructions for you. But what you do when you want to set up a sales listening station is you're going to go to a feed reader. Now, there's all different kind of feed readers out there. In fact, Google used to have one that was pretty darn good, right? And everybody used it. And then they stopped. They pulled the plug on that back in July. This past July, they pulled the plug on it. And I've been checking out this other feed reader. So far, so good. No complaints. Have a lot of the students in our online sales school that have checked it out, been getting some good reports from them too. So there's one called Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y, feedly.com. If you go there, set up a feed reader, right? Real easy to do. It's free. And you're going to set it up. Now, what I want to tell you, instead of setting up these alerts, what you could do is you can go into Google and it will give you a choice when you set up an alert, how you want to receive it. You could get your email blasted, your inbox blasted, or you could set it up so it goes to your reader. It will never touch your inbox. I mean, see how relaxed I got when I said that? I mean, seriously, man, like, I'm relaxed thinking about it. It's like, I don't know, maybe I need to like get a life or something, that I'm getting excited about this. But anyway, you're going to get excited about it too, because your inbox won't be blasted. But now what you're going to do is, when you set up these alerts, you're going to choose the selection that allows you to have it go through an RSS feed to that reader. Now, that reader is what I'm calling the sales listening station, because I don't like the way reader sounds. It just doesn't sound cool. But sales listening station, man, it makes you sound like you're like the James Bond, the freaking salesman. Like, you're like tuned in to everything, and you will be tuned in. So now what you can do is, to set up your listening station, you can go into Google and you could set up searches. I recommend that you set up searches for key players at the companies that you're dealing with, not just your immediate contact. I think sometimes it's important to know what the CEO is up to, or this person's boss is up to. Kind of cool that the executive team, right? Very, very important. And certainly, just on a related note, you could even monitor your competitors and things like that. And there's some other cool things that you can do. But again, I could do a whole podcast on that. I would rather have you read it with the detailed instructions. I promise you, it is not complicated. If it were complicated, it really would not be something that I would be writing about. That's not what I do. I like to just take this in its simplest form and deliver it to you guys. Because if it's complicated, I know how I think. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to decipher things. I just want to just dig in and do it. And I bet you're the same way. At least most of us type A's are, right? So you're going to want to just embrace the idea that the information you have might be antiquated if you're not keeping up and having this idea of a sales listening station. Now, just one little last thing I just want to point out to you, that when you set up these listening stations, it puts you in the know. It gives you the inside track, because, like we said before, business moves at the speed of light. Something's going to change. And you will know the instant that news hits the internet. And again, if you're managing a lot of accounts, it is just a gold mine for you. So very, very important that you do it. So that's the first area that people make mistakes. Let's go to the second. The second one, I think, is really joined at the hip with the first one. The second critical mistake that people make is they do not have a current needs analysis with their customers. They don't have a current needs analysis that they've done with their customers. Let me explain that again. Let's go back to this idea of the ABC company. You're courting them, right? And hopefully, during that courtship, when you're meeting with them, before you ever tell them about all the cool things you could do for them and what you could do for their company, how you've helped others and all that kind of stuff, I would hope that you ask some kick-ass questions before you ever did that, because otherwise you're just pitching and you're just spewing information that probably is going to be meaningless to them. And by the way, congratulations if you do that, because you sound like everybody else that goes in there. So hopefully you buy into the idea that you need to ask good questions and you need to have a needs analysis, right? Okay, great. Preaching to the choir again, Castain. But now here's where a lot of people kind of hang their head. Don't want you to hang your head if this is you. I want you to learn from this and avoid this. But what happens with most people, and many times I'll ask people when I'm doing a speech, whatever it is, I'll say, how many people here in the room have a client at least a year? Lots of hands go up, right? At least a year. And I'll say, well, how many people have a client at least 2 to 3 years? Lots of hands go up. And what I'll say to them is, and how many people are in a situation where the last time you asked lots of great questions was 2 to 3 years ago if you have a client 2 to 3 years, or 1 year ago if you have a client for a year? And what happens is that's when everybody usually breaks eye contact. It's like guilty, right? And just like start whistling, right? If I could whistle right now, which I can't. I don't know why. Maybe because it's late on a Sunday night when I'm recording this. Too many cigars in the backyard, perhaps. I don't know. I really don't know, folks. But here's the point that, again, it's like that meticulous pre-call planning. Business moves at the speed of light. That information that you were given 2 to 3 years ago is damn near obsolete, because lots of things have happened. I mean, heck, lots of things have happened since your last visit with your customer. Lots of things have happened since your last phone call. Things move very, very quickly. And again, because I'm a superstitious type of dude, if one of your competitors is calling on them, and they're asking them great questions, and the last time you went through a needs analysis, which let's just change that right now. If that's a little too technical for you guys, right? Again, I'm not being a wise ass here, but that's just like, come on, Castain, just dumb it down. Well, the last time you did a good checkup with your clients was 2 to 3 years ago, or a year ago, or whenever that magical day, it could be 6 months ago. That's too long. So now here's a situation where, once again, your competitor has the inside track. They don't even have the business. So why should they have more relevant, up-to-date information than you? That's just, it's wrong, right? So we don't want to be in that situation. So a few things that I want you to think about, and this would be an action item that, like, right now, if you have to pause this and set an alert on your iPhone, which, by the way, I hope you're doing that. When you hear an idea here that just hits home with you, you've got to capture that idea and you've got to schedule that idea. And, like, for the bonus point, do the idea when that alert goes off. So if this hits home with you, and it really better, because this is like mission critical right now, then you need to schedule it, like, right here. And okay, like Thursday, I'm going to do this. But you should look at your customers right now and think about the last time you did a good thorough checkup. Now, you might say to me, yeah, but I kind of do that as I go along. Yeah, kind of doing things is not doing things, right? And we all know that. Let's be real now. Let's tell our egos to go wait in the car, and let's all just, like, own that. Because it's very, very important that we formally go through these things. And not just like, okay, a question here or there, and yeah, I kind of know what's going on. No, no good. I mean, like, where you sit down and you just go through some questions that you've really thought out. So what I want you to do right now is think about your customers and schedule a day this week that you're going to get on the phone with them and schedule time with them. Now, whether, like, I think face-to-face is the best environment for this, by the way. You get their undivided attention. But I know a lot of us, a lot of people listening to this are in inside sales, or if you're like me, you have clients all over the world, right? So, I mean, I just brought in a client from the Czech Republic a few days ago, so I'm not going to get on a plane and go to the Czech Republic again, you know, to do something like that. So what I would recommend is that you schedule it for this week, get on the phone with them and schedule time with them, or shoot them an email and say, hey, you know, it's been a while since we've really reviewed things, what's working, what isn't working, opportunities, challenges, that kind of stuff. When can we carve some time out to discuss this and get in there and have this discussion with them? So I think that's very, very important. And it would work out very, very well if you go through your meticulous pre-call planning again, which we outlined before. But here's something else that you might want to think about. When you're meeting with your clients, and this is something you should do regularly, not just when you're having a formal, like, review type of meeting or a formal checkup. You should do, and you've heard me talk about this before. This isn't my concept, by the way. I don't even know who really invented this questioning system, but there's a really cool kind of like three-step questioning formula that you should use with your existing customers, and it's called start, stop, continue. And you could word this any way you want when you're with them, but those are your cues for the questions that you're to ask them. Start, stop, continue. And the first one is you really want to ask them something along the lines of, is there anything perhaps that we're not doing that or not offering that you'd like to see us start doing? So is there anything that we're not doing now or not offering right now for you that you'd like to see us start offering? Now, that question can be a goldmine to you, because many times, and I've experienced this with my own business, and you ready for the shock? I find out that as much as my ego would love it if they're thinking about Paul Castain and Castain training systems and the fact that, wait, he does coaching. Wait, he also does keynote speeches. Wait, and they could just rattle it off. It doesn't work like that in the real world. No matter how many times I try to make it known that I do those things without overselling it, in different communication that I send out to them to kind of like a did you know thing, even putting like little PSs in my emails, PS, ask me about how, blah, 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 to have it kind of point at another service that I offer. People are not running around thinking about me, and I would venture to say they're not running around thinking about you either. So many times when I have these start, stop, continue questions with my customers, they'll say to me, you know, Castain, we love that you came out here, you trained our sales team, and that you come out here a few times a year and continue the training. It would be great if you offered one-on-one coaching. And with that, like, I just want to kind of just say, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, of course I offer that. I've been telling you that for 2 years. And I'm not going to say that to a customer. I mean, it's actually a very cool thing that they're saying it to me, because now I have an opportunity. Because guess what I'm going to talk to them about? Now that they said it themselves, that they're very interested in that, what an awesome segue now for me to offer other products and services. So the start question for you could be a great opportunity for you to point some things out to them. So that's the first thing. The stop question is a really important question. In order to ask a stop question, once again, we have to tell that crazy ego of ours to go wait in the car. Your ego is awesome to protect you and to keep you from letting rejection really get to you, but it will also keep you from owning lessons and facing reality. So therefore, you really have to lose the ego and take your medicine and ask them, hey, is there something that we're doing that you'd like us to stop doing? And don't get defensive about it. Don't push back. You see, because what's going to happen there is that you're going to be conditioning behavior, and you're not going to even realize it, because what you're conditioning them to do is to never answer that question honestly again. And it's like, remember in that movie, you can't handle the truth? Well, you've got to handle the truth if you want to grow and if you want to build that business. And I always think it's better to hear something when you can fix it than hear something on the way out when it's too late, when they signed up with one of your competitors. Or worse yet, they just disappear, never to come back again, because they just didn't have the heart to tell you that you really need to get better in a certain area. So that's the stop question. Is there anything that we're doing that you'd like to see us stop doing? And then last but not least, this is a really important area, this one. You're going to say, is there anything that we're doing that by all means we should continue doing? That's your continue question. Is there anything that we're doing for you where you would just love to see us just continue doing it? That is an important question, because I'm here to tell you that as much as, yes, there's lessons we can learn on that stop question, there are incredible lessons you could also learn on the continue, because I am willing to bet. See, I'm really gambling a lot this week, and maybe I should just go to Vegas. If anybody wants to go to Vegas and you want to maybe front me 10 or 20 grand, I'm in. I just want to let you know right now. I have to think of a good excuse to tell my wife, but I think we could figure it out, right? I'm in sales. I could figure this out. I got this. But anyway, seriously, the continue question, I'm willing to bet that you're going to find out things that you're doing that people love that you never thought of, because you just do it. You do what you do. And I'll give you an example, and I almost shouldn't do this, man, but I'm gonna say it anyway, in case any of my competitors are listening. But it was about 2 years ago, I guess it was, that I had asked this question with one of my customers. And I feel like such an idiot sharing this with you guys, because, like, I should have known. But again, it's like familiarity, right? It's around me all the time. This is what I do. So I thought everybody did this. And they said, Paul, the thing that you have to continue doing that is just completely awesome is, yes, we love that you come in here and do a speech, or we love it when you come in here and do training. But what we really, really love is that how you never let it end right at that. You have all these reinforcement things that you do with us, whether they be your reinforcement emails or these on-demand webinars that you give our team to kind of reinforce and expand upon the points that you made when you did your speech or whatever it is. And I just never thought of that. I've just done that, like, forever. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, maybe I should be telling this to people when I'm selling my services. And I started doing it, and people like, oh my God, that's a great thing that you offer. That's like, how do you do that? And all this interest was generated. And by the way, thanks to my customers, they pointed out one of my key differentiators with Castain Training Systems, and it was right from the horse's mouth. So, and by the way, it also, getting back to the point of the question, gave me a cue from the customer on how I can continue to wow them. I was wowing them with that. So very, very important that you do that. So this whole idea of a needs analysis, I think action steps for you this week, and actually right now, just right on your iPhone, just schedule a calendar event of when you're going to send emails or pick up the phone to set up an appointment, either face-to-face or a conference call or whatever, where you can kind of do this. And you know what? Just a final thing here. I like to lighten things up. I don't like things to be very, very formal. And the people who buy from me, they seem to like things that way too. So I don't want to make it like one of these things, like almost like, what do you mean? You got to ask me all these questions, and should I have my attorney there? What are you, a cop, Castain? Are you wearing a wire, Castain? Right? I don't want to have that kind of vibe with people. So, I mean, I think it's really, really important that you maybe find a way to just package it differently. So one of the things I'll say to people sometimes, and I recommend to some of my clients, it's like, you know what? I think when something's awkward, you should own that awkwardness, right? So what I'll do is I'll say, you know what? Let's just say I'm talking to John. John, I'm embarrassed, man. It's been probably a year since we've had a good, thorough checkup. So it's kind of like going to the doctor, man. We really need to get together, look at things, because the last time we did it was a year ago. I know we do business almost weekly, but we really haven't sat down and done a good, thorough examination. So let's get some time on the calendar. Let's make sure that everything that we're doing is keeping you guys moving forward and rocking and rolling. I just kind of wung it on that one. I usually don't say rocking and rolling to people, but the urge hit me now, so what the heck. But anyway, that's one of the things that I would do. That brings us to item number 3, and I think it's a big area where we make mistakes. Again, under this theme of familiarity, kind of breeding no attempt. And in this case, kind of the familiarity and the four mistakes that we make with our customers. Here's a big area, folks. And it's so big, I didn't know even like, I couldn't figure out one word to capture this properly. So I said, screw it, my podcast. I'm going to put all of them there. You might almost want to count this as three different ones, whatever you want to do. But for now, I think that we fail in the area of continuing to give them ideas, surprises, and resources. Ideas, surprises, and resources. I mean, said another way, we're failing to give them the wow. And we kind of think, again, because we're so familiar with them, and they're familiar with us, and that's probably how we're thinking, well, they know me, and they know that I kick butt for them, and I come through for them on these deadlines, and all these other things, that we just kind of stop trying, and certainly not trying as hard as we did when we were courting them. Now, let's have a quick timeout. I feel like I should be playing maybe some Barry White right now, because we're going to kind of talk about relationships for a moment. I want you to think about this for a minute. Now, for me, man, I'm out of the game a long time. I mean, seriously, it was just a few weeks ago, celebrated my 25th wedding anniversary with Mrs. Uncle Paul, by the way. And we dated for 5 years before that. So, like, I've been out of the game for like 30 years. So yeah, that's like, I really felt old saying that, but like for 30 years. But I do remember a few things about why relationships fail. And also too, when you're 48 years old, for those of you in my age bracket, it's an unfortunate thing, but you've kind of seen other relationships that didn't work out too well and divorces and things like that. And I think a key component in many personal relationships that forces them to break down is when one party feels as if the other party really doesn't care, or perhaps maybe they're working at it harder than the other party, right? I probably just described right there what about like a million breakups right there that happen. That's like really when we break it down, that's kind of at the core of it. And I think it's no different with customers and why we lose them. They're not feeling the love, and certainly not that love and excitement that they did when they were being courted. And we could sit here and say that's human nature. I think that's a BS excuse. I really do. I mean, yeah, you're right. It is human nature, but does that mean we should tolerate it as sales professionals? So we really need to think about ways to continue to put that wow into the relationship. And I think that the three things that you could think about under this heading would be ideas, surprises, and resources. So let's take this idea thing. We should be on a regular basis, right? I mean, you can't do it every other day. You're a busy person, right? But regularly, we should be supplying them with ideas. I mean, at times, it should be a no-strings-attached idea. Other times, it might be an idea of something, obviously, that we sell and offer that could help them. So, but the problem is, if we always put it as salesy and not helpful. Once again, I believe we've conditioned behavior, and the behavior we're conditioning is, hey, when I see Paul's like name and number on the caller ID, that's a great time to let it go to voicemail, because this guy's just going to try to sell me as opposed to help me. So, or helping me. So I want you to think about that. Think about giving ideas. And just a quick war story about that. You know, I was doing a sales class for these brand spanking new sales reps. And I don't mean just like new to sales. I mean like even new to the business world, people that were pretty fresh out of college, like a year or two. And I was doing this training session. I think this was about 6 or 7 years ago. And it's still like, I remember it like it was yesterday. And we were just like talking about questions, as a matter of fact. And this person said, one of the questions, and he just kind of timidly like raised his hand. He said, you know, I'm wondering, Paul, if a good question to ask would be like, okay, you had mentioned to me that you have somebody that's helping you in this area. And this area that we're talking about was printing, by the way, but you could replace that with any industry and still ask this question. He said, I'm wondering if it would be acceptable for me to ask them, hey, when was the last time your sales rep came to you with an idea, just proactively came to you and said, hey, I was thinking of you. Here's an idea. And I really think that is such a brilliant thing, by the way, to think about. But now bringing it back to you, I mean, okay, yeah, we could all sit here and go, yeah, that's pretty cool or whatever. But how about you? When was the last time that you proactively went to your client and presented them with an idea? So again, no need to hang your head if you're not doing it. But the whole point of this podcast and the whole point of the blog is so that you could make these notes to self and then take action on them. So if this is one of those moments, I want you to take action on it and get in the habit. Like I'd mentioned earlier, you hear something that makes sense to you, pause this podcast, set it as a calendar event, and then make sure that you do it, because now you're going to be just fast forwarding your progress. So that's one of the things that I want you to think about, ideas. Next, surprises. I think surprises in any relationship are really, really cool. And let's do a timeout on that. I know this isn't what I'm supposed to be talking about with you guys, but seriously, I mean, I think all of this stuff is related. I don't care how long you're in a personal relationship, but after listening to this podcast, just kind of ask yourself a question. In what way can I surprise my significant other? Maybe it's with a date night. Maybe it's with something. Maybe it's flowers. Maybe it's just something that they just really, really like, and just surprise them with that. I mean, it's just a really cool thing for you to do. It just keeps a message that you care enough to keep working. You have this urgency to keep working at the relationship. And then when you get done with that, take that and carry it over to business. Now, here's the set. Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get into it. I was just going to sit here and say that. Isn't it sad that many times that we just kick butt with business, and we sometimes take better care of our customers than we remember to take care of our personal relationships? But I don't want to beat that point up either. It's something to think about. But more importantly, over on this side of the fence with business, I think you need to think about how you can surprise them. Now, let me give you a few examples anyway. Some of them you've heard, some of them you haven't, but really, I guess it's like a bad habit that I've been enjoying more and more lately, is I really enjoy cigars. I always have for the last few years, especially this time of year in New York. There's a nice bite in the air. It's fall. It's crisp. Beautiful time to be outside, perhaps get the fire pit going. You're sitting out there, and I love my cigars. Now, this one place that I'm doing business with, JR Cigars, I'm not affiliated with them, by the way, but I just want to give credit where credit is due. They surprised me not too long ago. I was ordering a few things. They put in a few sample cigars for me to try out, and I thought it was pretty cool. It made me feel appreciated. And by the way, I like those cigars enough that I bought them. With future purchases, I was like, and it was a more expensive cigar, by the way. So that can kind of go hand in hand with sampling. So you can surprise people with a sample of something else that they could be buying from you. Also, audible.com, I think, is very, very good in this department and in showing appreciation. At the holidays, every year, they surprise their customers, and they send out like a free, exclusive type of audio thing for everyone that is a customer. They also are very good on the anniversary of when you started doing business, and that's something all of us could be doing. We could acknowledge our anniversary with a customer with a surprise of some sort. I think sometimes the best surprises are those just because. We're not really tying it to a sale. We're just kind of thanking them in general and just surprising them. They didn't expect it, completely uncalled for, and we surprised them. In fact, a while ago, one of the ways that I surprised my clients was I gave them a free webinar just for them. And it was on surprises. So if you can kind of like run with that idea, right? A surprise that was all about surprises. Just help them to put those together better. Also, too, I did business with a company called PS Print a while ago. And they surprised me by upgrading my delivery. And again, think about that. I mean, what did that really cost them, right? It wasn't like some billion-dollar order that I was doing. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe like another $10 or something. I don't even know. I don't even know if it cost them anything, to be quite honest with you. But to me, it was like, oh, cool. This is great. I mean, seriously, with some people, and I'm one of them, you could surprise me by giving me pocket lint. I'm like, oh, my God, they gave me pocket lint. How like freaking awesome is this? But the point is that we have to keep that excitement into our relationship. And last but not least, we talked as part of this. Resources, I think, are very, very important. And one of the many Paulisms on this podcast is this whole idea of sending out resources to your entire network every 4 to 6 weeks. You should be doing that. And don't you dare tell me, and on this one, I do want you to hang your head if you're doing it. Don't tell me, well, yeah, we sent out a newsletter. Nope, sorry. Sorry, like, everybody does the damn newsletter. So please don't think that you're being unique. I mean, seriously, don't think that that's unique. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it. By all means, do it. It's certainly better than doing nothing. But that, to me, should not count as the resource that you're sending them. What I'm talking about is every 4 to 6 weeks, send them a brand agnostic resource. Again, my definition, brand agnostic, nothing to do with you. That's not saying buy from me, or here's my report, or here's a free webinar for all our clients or anything. I don't mean that. I mean something like an industry report, or one of the things I like to send out to people is when I come across apps. I mean, I don't know about you. I love apps. I love finding apps, especially ones that are free and that are useful to my business and useful to salespeople. I love them, right? So I love sharing things like that. The example also that I beat to death, a few years ago, we found a free conference call resource. I sent that out to everyone. When I discovered this thing, by the way, which I talk about in that sales listening resource that I'm going to send you guys, that's in the show notes, I talk about this thing called socialmention.com. When I found socialmention.com, guess what I did? I sent that out to my network. And when you do things like that, people find you more valuable. And don't we drop that term way too much? Like, I bring value to my clients. Half of the population doesn't even know what that means. But they just say it because it's cute and it's cool and it's catchy. And everybody in sales is supposed to say, I deliver value. But most people can't articulate how. But more importantly, I don't think their customers could really articulate how. And again, I'm not looking to slap people in the face with that. I just want it to be a wake-up call. But this is one of the ways that you can deliver value, by giving valuable things that are useful to them. So every 4 to 6 weeks, send your network some kind of resource. And certainly, the other thing you can do is a little something that I like to call resource positioning. At the end of your conversations, from time to time, invite them to consider you a resource. So one of the things that you could do is, again, maybe we're talking to Jane, and I would say something like this at the end of the call. Hey, Jane, before you go, don't forget, I want you to consider me a resource. So that means any question that you might have that has even anything to do with training or coaching or any of the stuff that you and I talk about, I don't want you ever to hesitate to pick up the phone and give me a call. And I promise you this, that if I don't have the answer, I have an extensive network of people that can get you the answer. So I want to be your first call. So what that does, first of all, is that it keeps things just open, right? It just keeps them considering you and you being the first call. That's a great position for us to be in. Now we're a resource. And isn't that another phrase we like to drop a lot? Yeah, I'm a resource. How the hell are you a resource? Right? Do they think you're a resource? Or is that another cute phrase? You have to do this stuff to be considered a resource. You have to do this stuff to be considered valuable. So invite them to consider you a resource. And what's really cool about that, even with people that aren't your customer, you should be inviting them to consider you a resource, because then people will ask you for stuff. Now, we're not saying, hey, by the way, next time you need $20,000, would you reach out to me? I'd love to give away money and empty my bank account. No, I'm just saying, let me be your first call when you have a question, when you need some help with something, you need some advice. I don't mind doing that. It also helps me demonstrate my expertise, right? Helps you demonstrate your expertise too. But also what it helps you to do is that if you're talking to lots of people, which in sales, I'm willing to bet that you do, people are going to ask about things. All of a sudden you say, wait a minute. Hey, hold on a second. This sounds like something that Joe Jones might be able to... Man, I could be a matchmaker right now. That's another way that you add value to your network and to your customers, things like that. So that's one of the areas that I think we just fail in, because we just don't... We thought, okay, I'm married now, and I have to keep working at the relationship. The final area is we really, because we're familiar with our customers, I think we just fail to ask them for both referrals and testimonials. And the thing that I just want to tell you, first of all, let's start with the testimonial. The testimonial is very, very important. And I know this isn't like the most grammatically correct phrase, and it's an old beaten to death thing, but we've all heard this one before, right? If you don't ask, you don't get. And referrals and testimonials, but testimonials, people aren't running around with you on the brain. So what I think you should do is that sooner or later, if you're doing your job right, somebody's going to tell you that you rock. Somebody else is going to tell you that you saved the day, or you did an 11th hour miracle. That is such an awesome moment, because they are loving you. They just told you. They just gave you like a man hug right then and there. They don't care who knows it, man. I love you, dude. I don't care if I got weird. Come here. Bring it in. Right? That kind of thing. Well, then what you need to do, that's the time you ask, right? You should be asking other times too, but that is your golden opportunity, right? That's where it's like, man, the target is lit right then and there. So what I like to do, and the way I advise my clients, again, we don't want this stuff to get weird. And if you feel awkward with it, man, don't. Just have fun with it instead. In fact, write that down. Anytime you're feeling awkward with something, just have fun with it instead, and it can lose that awkwardness, right? Just provided you don't do something really crazy. Then it just gets really weird and you get thrown out, and then that's bad, right? So, and if that happens, I don't know anything about this conversation. I'm just going to completely throw you under the bus. But anyway, the thing that I want you to think about is when it comes to that moment when they say, you rock, man, you saved the day. You're going to just like do like the timeout sign. Just hold on a second. Just say, could you do me like the biggest favor in the world? Right now, right here, now, like, grab your smartphone. Shoot that to me in an email. Just like two sentences, what you just said. Because if you do that, call them by name, right? Nancy, John, Joe, whatever. Bubba, if you do that, make sure their name's Bubba. If you do it, right? But whatever their name is. See, if you do that, it'll help me get more cool clients like you. So in that moment when they are loving you, that is your moment, man. You got to take advantage of it and just have them write that. And you could do so much with those testimonials, by the way. I mean, I have them all over my website now. All over the website now, because I think it's very, very important that you see that other people think that I am completely rocking their world. And I think it's very important, because I think when people are processing whether or not they want to do business with you, they're going to kind of run this little question through their mind. They're not going to say it to you, but they're going to be thinking, oh yeah, well, who says so besides this rep? Who else thinks that their company is cool? Who else thinks that they're cool? I wonder what their customers think about them. Well, that's a great opportunity. You could take those testimonials. One of the things I do with my proposal, right? Like, it's like the last page or second to last page in my proposal, right? Right. Just put right by that price page. I have just like a page or a page and a half full of testimonials for my clients, by the way. I want it there. I'm proud of those testimonials. So very, very important that you do that. And certainly doesn't hurt to carry some around with you, you know, in your bag, because you just never know. But the other thing is with referrals. And if you don't ask, you don't get. And especially sometimes we're just so familiar with our clients. Oh, I don't want to ask them. I don't want to put them out. And we assume that for some reason that they won't, or they'll feel funny or whatever it is. You really need to ask them for referrals. And I think, and again, I'm not going to go into a step-by-step way to do that right now. I'll put some resources on the show notes, which you can visit again by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/91. Now, with that, man, there's several things there that fall into this. But what I want you to do is a few things. If you want to get the most out of today's podcast, I'm going to recommend that you visit those show notes. I'm going to have a link to the blog post that I did earlier or last week at this point. And it's going to go over the other areas where I think familiarity breeds no attempt. This week, we really focused where familiarity breeds no attempt with our clients. And we talked about the fact that this pre-call planning thing, many times we just don't do it after they become a client. We talked about the needs analysis, same thing, kind of joined at the hip there. We talked about a really cool three-step questioning formula with your existing clients. Now, just to be clear, that's not to take the place of a needs analysis, but that's something that you could do in addition to that could open up opportunities for you and for your customers, by the way. And we talked about checkups and all that kind of stuff too. Then we talked about how after the marriage, how we kind of fail to kind of wow them, right? And to continue to court them. Maybe that was a good heading for it, right? That we kind of fail to court after we're married to the customer. And we said that there's three ways that you could do that. Ideas, surprises, and resources. And then last but not least, we talked about how we really fail to ask for referrals and testimonials and how important those things are. So there you have it. And I will tell you this, and sometimes I end my webinars this way. What you listen to is completely useless. Seriously, it's useless. You might as well trash it until you choose to do something with it. Don't let this sit in your journal or in your notebook or commit it to memory. Get serious with this stuff. I don't care if you take one idea that you learned today, but you need to get it onto your smartphone. You need to take action on it this week. And please continue to send me your emails telling me how you've been having success with this stuff, because I love to hear it. So please feel free to, in fact, let me give you my email address, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. Feel free to share that with me, because I love to hear these stories. And before you go, just a quick reminder, man, because time is kicking. If you manage a sales team, you absolutely must join us on November the 6th, man. We're like a little over 2 weeks away at this point from our online sales management course. Remember the first word there. It's online, which means you don't leave the office, right? You don't have to be in airports. You don't have to shell out all the money for that kind of stuff. And not only is it online, but we record every single session. So if you can't be there, or even if you can be there and you want some reinforcement, I got you covered. Because we always send out the recording and the links and the slides and all that kind of stuff within 24 to 48 hours after every session. But we have a really full plate of some really cool things that you need to know to bring your sales team up like a notch or like 20. And it is not sales management 101. So if that's keeping you from doing it, you get your tail into this class, man, because we've got a lot of really cool things in store for you. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.